right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, middle of August edition of the show. Would have been preseason week one edition of the show. As I record this on Thursday afternoon, it would have been pregame day. Tomorrow would have been game day, a Friday night kickoff against the Steelers to start the preseason. And it's always so much fun around this time of year when training camp gets going. You're excited about that. But then after a little bit of that, you're like, okay, let me see some actual football. Then preseason games start, and those are cool for the first half or so of the first game, and you get tired of that. Then you're ready for the regular season. Of course, we're not going through any of that, at least in the traditional way this year. So we're left to look at practice clips taken by members of the local media from afar, which are coming in now if you're on Twitter or anything like that. So we'll talk about it today because the Bucs are on the field practicing. All the people that we've heard about, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, now LeSean McCoy joining them, all these names in addition to the cast and crew from last year's team, you know, they're not just an abstract anymore. Like, you can actually see them in Buccaneer gear at one Buccaneer place on the practice fields doing their thing. But of course, nothing's open to the public. Even the media can't get very close, but they're doing a good job. And of course, the Bucs themselves are going to start, I don't want to say televising, maybe computervising is the right word. Training camp live, they're calling it. So if you go to Bucs.com, you can watch some of the action. They're starting that next week. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about today, needless to say. Plus, it's been a couple of weeks since I did a show. So thank you for joining us. As always, the Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. It's only August, but you know, things move fast with automobiles, literally and figuratively. So you can go ahead and avail yourself of discounts that have to do with the 2020 models, because the 2021s are starting to come in. So now's a great time to buy still a new car, but now you're going to get a better deal on it. You know, they're moving in the brand new ones, moving out the ones that are also brand new, but from 2020. And of course, that's just one little sliver of what they have over at Bill Curry Ford. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. And check out the whole inventory, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, used. They've got it all. You can check it out on the website. Plenty of room for social distancing over there. But if you're not comfortable even going over there at all or going anywhere at all, they will bring you over a car to your house or office to test drive. And if you do end up buying one, they'll deliver it right to your door. They'll make all the accommodations, and that's on top of the lifetime warranty and everything else you get with Bill Curry Ford. So check them out. Again, BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E, or go a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, right there on Dale Mabry on the east side of the road, and see them in person. My good friend Sean Sullivan, the GM, and they have been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now. So thanks to them. So let's talk about what's going on right now. I know, you know, the NFL and college are obviously different, and it's an entire mess with college football right now. And the reason for that is, I mean, aside from COVID itself, the reason for that is there's no central governing body of college football. There's nobody who's really in charge of the best interests of college football. You've got people in charge of the best interests of all these different conferences, the Big Ten commissioner, and those university presidents are in charge of their best interests, and the same goes for the SEC and the ACC and the Pac-12 and the Big 12. But you know what? There's nobody in charge looking out for college football. College football doesn't have a commissioner, and even those university presidents, their vision is only so far as their own universities and maybe even their conferences. So you've got, right now, some conferences like the Big Ten have already said we're not playing in the fall. Others like the SEC and ACC are still trying to play. And obviously, none of them should play unless all of them are playing. And if any of them are playing, then other ones should play. You know, it's all or nothing to me is how it should be. And it still may end up being that way, but as of right now, this is what we've got. So let's talk first. I want to tell y'all something. You know, as it regards not just to college football, but football in general. You know, the big thing with football, we're watching right now, if you're a hockey fan or an NBA fan, or even a baseball fan, but particularly the NBA and the NHL because they have bubbles, we're watching what I think is a very successful implementation of return to play. I mean, the NHL, and I'll even raise my hand and admit it, and I always thought they should play, but I was criticizing them for not playing fast enough. And I kept saying over the summer, what are we taking so long for? Why are we waiting until August? They really can't get this together. But you know, it's not easy to run something like what they're running. And you have to be very methodical, and it takes a lot of time. And now that it's actually here and they're actually doing it, you know, I know it's not as fun without the fans, but it's not that bad. And I think the NHL playoffs right now have been run nearly flawlessly by the league. The bubble concept has worked. And if you believe their numbers, and I do, they've run something like 17,000, 18,000 total tests this entire time. And there were like a handful of early positives when they first started out. But since they went in the bubble, they've had no positive tests. And the same goes for the NBA. And they're pulling it off. There's games on every day. The TV ratings are healthy. And again, I've watched it, and you've probably watched it too, especially because there hasn't been anything else going on. And I'm a hockey fan anyway. But while it's not as good as live playoff action with fans yelling and screaming, the hockey looks the same. It feels the same. I was worried about that because over the offseason, if you remember listening to me on this show, I talked about how, oh, it's going to be like the COVID Cup. It's going to feel so detached from the actual season that we already had that it's going to feel more like a mini Olympic tournament than the culmination of a season, on and on and on. Now that it's going on, it doesn't feel that way. I was wrong. Like I was watching game one the other day of the playoff series with Columbus that the Lightning had, not the round robin games, but game one, and that felt like game one of a playoff series any other year. The only weird part about it was the 3 o'clock in the afternoon start on a random Tuesday afternoon, but the Lightning and Blue Jackets took care of that weird feeling by making sure the game did in fact extend into primetime by playing five overtimes in addition to the three regulation periods. So it still went until 9 o'clock. But I mean, it didn't feel any different to me. Like I was worried about that. And it's certainly, you know, again, it's not the best without fans, but it's way better than not having anything. So for all the people who the first words that fly out of their mouth at any indication of anything going wrong are, ah, just cancel the season already. Ah, why are they even... I never understood those people. I never understood why people are so quick to want to just bag things. You should always make an attempt if something can be done, because you know what? A lot of times you might be surprised. And even someone like me who was optimistic that we could do this, even I think it's even better than what I thought it was going to be. I'm not a big NBA guy. I don't really watch a lot of NBA, but they've done a great job too. And they're doing their regular season finishing up, and they're going to start their playoffs soon. But it's working. Like, it's working. Now, they have bubbles. Major League Baseball, though, here's another one. Doesn't have a bubble. They ran into some early trouble. They had some teams that some breakouts, and you've heard all the, you don't need me to repeat all this to you. You know this by now. The Marlins were one, the Phillies, contact between teams that led to other teams getting it and all that stuff. And again, the chorus of people, they can't wait. Oh, why are they even doing this? Just cancel the season already. No, figure it out, work the problem, keep going. Because you cancel it again, you're done. You can't, you know, you're not, that's it. Until who knows how long from now. And they did. MLB worked the problem. They're continuing. They're going to make up those games. Those players who tested positive are going to be all right. And they're making it work. And that's without a bubble. So we come to football now. And that's what I'm getting to. Football's different. You know, all those other sports either A, have a bubble, or B, don't require the type of proximity that football does. I mean, football players tackle each other and lay on top of each other and sweat and breathe on each other. And even though it is an outdoor game, it's played outside. This is the thing. It's still played outside. And, you know, I don't know what the technology with these helmet masks that they're coming up with, how dependable it really is. But if you're outside and you have masks on, that's not a big transmission hotspot. I mean, most of the transmission that they are finding, you know, we don't know a lot of things about COVID yet. But there are other things we do know, and most of the transmission is happening with indoor maskless situations, okay? So again, football I know is not your typical outdoor interaction like baseball you can play, and you don't have to get that close to anybody or maybe just a couple of people. But even still, I don't think the football transmission rate will be as high as maybe a lot of other people think it will if they end up doing this. And the NFL is certainly saying they are moving forward right now. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, there's a lot of going back and forth right now, and sometimes it falls on political lines, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know, some people, oh, we got to take risks, we got to do this, you know, let them go out there. Other people, oh my God, you're crazy, you're sending these guys off to slaughter, basically. You know, some people really lay it on thick the other direction. I think both people, both sides can exaggerate somewhat, whether it's the effects of COVID or whether it's diminishing the potential effects of COVID. But I think what a lot of people, you know, when it comes down to especially college players and NFL players too, I mean, anybody who's young and healthy and athletic, you know, we're debating the types of things about, oh, how does it really affect people like that? And is it that bad if you're a 20-something-year-old athlete and you're in great shape? And the truth is, listen, it varies from person to person. No, you're not very likely to have a problem. But this is what I talked about the last time I did a show. We can parse all day long about each individual person and, oh, these college kids want to play. This guy in the NFL wants to opt out. No, this guy wants to play. When you're the one in charge of it all, you're responsible for it all. So it's easy for people like me or you or anybody else in the peanut gallery to say, quote unquote, they ought to this or they ought to that. But the reason college football, or at least those two conferences so far, the Big Ten and it looks like the Pac-12, have done what they are going to do or are doing what they're going to do and not playing right now, it's not some morality play. It's not any, people really make it more complicated than it is. It comes down to the bottom line, just like everything comes down to the bottom line. These conferences exist because of sports. They're not academic conferences. The Big Ten isn't there just because of an engineering class. It's there for sports, and mainly football and basketball. So they're not going to cancel the very thing that their existence relies on just for fun, but they're also not operating out of the goodness of their hearts either. The bottom line is liability. It's too risky. It's just too much to ask for them, in their opinion, to move forward compared to play. Now, they're not canceling. I shouldn't use the word cancel. They are hoping to bump to the spring, and even Jeff Braum, the Purdue head coach, came up with a detailed plan on how that could work. I'll talk a little bit more later in the show about the spring football thing, because that's another thing I'm hearing people poo-poo right out of the gate. Oh, God, if you're not going to play in the fall, then I'll see you in 2021. Don't even bother talking about the spring. You can't do that. Player safety. Of course you can. There'd still be 5 months between the seasons. It's no problem at all. But again, there's always people that want to love to find any reason why something can't work. And you should look at the pros and cons. You should look at reasons why something wouldn't work. But they need to be legitimate reasons. And I'll talk about that more later in the show. Point is, okay, if you're the president of a Big Ten university or the commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, and one guy anywhere gets on a ventilator or one guy anywhere develops something with his heart or something as a complicated, you know, you have to live with that. You have to wear that. It's not me that does. It's not you out there. We can all say, oh, well, you know, the percentages are so low. No, you know, I mean, if that were to happen at all, I totally, like I said, whether I agree or disagree, I am sympathetic to people who are in positions of leadership or decision-making positions for large groups of people, whether it's sports or business or whatever, because, you know, it's the same thing going on with school right now. We get this whole battle. I live in Hillsborough County. Wherever you live, I'm sure, you know, especially if it's in Florida, there's been controversy because the state wants to do one thing and doesn't want schools to close, and some of the school districts do. And I'm not going to get into the politics of all that, but the point is, a lot of these school districts, you know, if I'm the commissioner of a school district like Hillsborough County, Addison-Davis, or Pasco, or Pinellas, or whatever it is, and you've got all these thousands of people, and yeah, most kids are going to be completely fine even if they do get COVID, but what about the ones that don't and aren't? I don't, you know, I mean, that's weighty, man. That's heavy. And so when you, and the teachers and everybody, and when it all comes back to your desk, and again, this is sports, business, anything, you know, I understand how the thinking's a little bit different than just me sitting here on my couch. Oh, they ought to play. Come on. What the hell? You know, and listen, I'll tell you something right now on the show. I'm going to say it publicly, all right? There's fear of the unknown out there. So another reason why it's easy for me to think they should play football is because I, not officially, but probably have already had COVID-19. My wife did test positive over a month ago, and I didn't bother getting tested myself because, one, I felt nothing, and two, I didn't want to clog up the system. So we just all assumed we had it in my family and took all the precautions and everything you're supposed to do. And everything's fine now. My wife had very slight loss of taste and smell. That's it. And neither me or my two children had anything at all. So my wife tested. She was positive. Like I said, the other three of us, me and my two kids, we didn't bother getting tested because what would be the point? We just assumed we all had it. And the entire time, not only did I not feel anything, I've actually felt pretty good lately. Like, I've been doing well in the gym. I've set a couple of PRs with some running things. So heart and lung function haven't been affected in the short term. Now, of course, who knows about the long-term things? Nobody knows. But my point is, there's an aura and a mystique, and maybe I don't want to say stigma, maybe, but like, there's people who haven't had COVID. You should see them, like, when I tell them real casually, "Oh yeah, my wife tested positive." They're like, "Oh my God, you had," like, because they're thinking it's some horrible disease, and it can be. I mean, we have over 160,000 people who have died from it. Many others have suffered complications, and that's my point. It varies from person to person. Now, if I was a player in college or a player in the NFL, I would absolutely want to play. I mean, I wouldn't even hesitate. I'd play right now. Even before I, or my wife tested positive and I assumed myself to be positive, I would still have played. I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm in decent shape. I'm not invincible. I don't think of myself as invincible. And I fear lots of things health-wise. COVID was never something I feared. I still took all the precautions, and even now that I think I've had it, I'm still taking them, because even though they're pretty, you know, they think that you probably don't get it twice, but they're not sure, so I'm just assuming, just like everybody else, I could get it again. So I'm not, don't want you to think I'm out there just doing whatever I want now, because I think I had COVID earlier. But I mean, the point is, I wasn't ever afraid of it. I didn't, if you had asked me before I got it, or probably got it, "Hey, COVID, what do you think?" I'd be like, "No, I mean, I don't want COVID. I would have certainly not wanted it." But I wouldn't have not wanted it enough to not play a sport if it was my profession or if I was on scholarship to do it or anything like that. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with people who don't want to do it. If a college kid doesn't want to play, or if a pro player wants to opt out, like I told you guys on other shows, fine. Let them. But I also, let's put it this way. The risks that already exist by playing football, I would have considered to have been greater than COVID itself. I mean, when I go out there, and you know, I've talked on this show many times before about how I play in a semi-pro football league, the Florida Football Alliance for the Dunedin Pirates. And every year that I've done it, you know, even before the season started, I stopped and thought, you know, do I really want to do this? This could be dangerous. It's football. You know, I don't want concussions. I don't want CTE. I don't want things like that. And I've played anyway. I'm not sure if I'll play again or not, although I do want to play, I think, one more season at least. Now that I just turned 40, I've always wanted to play in my 40s. I have to keep up with Tom Brady. He's playing in his 40s. But the point is, those risks that I've always weighed before playing football, or at least as an adult, I didn't think about them when I was in high school, those risks I still would consider greater than COVID for someone like me who, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I never feared if I did get COVID that anything would happen. And if you had asked me to predict what would happen if I got COVID, I would have told you probably nothing, and nothing is what happened. But that doesn't mean it's that way for everybody. And again, people have different conditions and things like that, or sometimes even people that don't have conditions have negative effects. So, you know, there's a lot of fear of the unknown from people who haven't had it, but young 20-somethings and 30-somethings in general should be just fine. That doesn't mean I'm going to call them a pussy or something if they don't want to play, because there are a lot of different reasons. But my point is, I guess the way I could sum it all up, I both don't think it would be a huge problem if they did play football, one, but two, also completely understand why some of these conferences are not playing football. Like, both things can be true. I think it'd be probably fine if they played, and I think a lot of the concerns would prove to be kind of overblown, but I also completely understand why they wouldn't, and, you know, I don't think it's as easy of a call as a lot of people make it out to be. And listen, being in a leadership position, whether it's the commissioner of a conference or the president of a university or the governor of a state or the whatever it is, I mean, there's a reason you're in those positions. They're not easy. You have to make tough calls. I'm not saying I feel sorry for them. I mean, you know, that's why their pay grade is what it is. But it's not easy. And you have to consider a lot of things. And it all comes back to you. And if anything happens to even one person who seemed like they were going to be fine, but all of a sudden they weren't. You know, you have, I mean, every night that I went to bed, if I was like the head of the school district, I'd be like, "Oh my God, did any kids get COVID today? What if a kid's going on a ventilator tomorrow?" I mean, the stress of that must be really, really great. I mean, I completely admit that. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you have to make it as calculating as possible. and take a lot of the emotion out of it. And I think these conference commissioners are realizing, you know, when you take into account the liability and the things like that. I mean, if you say green light go and they go play and something bad happens to someone, just on a personal level, your career's done. Never mind the liability and the legal things that could come with that. So it's not easy, but it's where we are. The NFL, at least, you know, they're pros. It's a little bit different. And all those guys have the ability to opt out on their own. And nobody has with your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know there was some speculation about Donovan Smith. Or I think one guy did who probably was going to get cut anyway, if I remember correctly. But nobody else on the Bucs, nobody prominent did. Donovan Smith had hinted at it before during the offseason, but when it was time to report, he was there. They're all out there at the field, and that's great news. So going back to that thing I was talking about with spring football that's been proposed, and we actually have some, I don't want to say breaking news because this is a podcast and you guys could be listening to it at any time, but like I told you, I'm recording this. It's a little after 2 o'clock on August 13th, a Thursday. Just seeing a tweet here from Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times. It says, I'm quoting the tweet now, "Whoa, FSU President John Thrasher says the ACC presidents are meeting at 4:30 today, and he thinks it will be the final decision on whether to play." Now, again, by the time you hear this, that will have already happened. So maybe this whole thing I just said, you know, there's been other shoes to drop. Things happen fast now. But it sounds possible. And if it's the final decision, that would mean they're not playing. Because if you're saying they're playing, you wouldn't be able to make that a final decision now because that could change any time between here and the actual start of the season. But if you're saying we're not playing, that could be a final decision. So I will see. For me, it's 2.5 hours away. For you listening to this, you probably already know what he said. But either way, this whole idea of a spring football season that's been talked about for college, and it's only an option for college, it's not an option for the NFL, which, again, has reiterated that they are planning on doing things just the way they schedule them, besides the preseason, which has been canceled. Everything else is just going to keep right on the way it's supposed to be. For college, a lot of people have said it's an impossibility because how can you have two seasons in 1 year, although it's only 3 months after the other. It's basically having the same amount of games in 12 months you would have had in 15 or 16 months, so it's not that big of a difference. And I think people are overreacting to the idea of player safety as it pertains to playing a spring season and then again in the fall. First of all, and I told you about this a little while ago, Jeff Brohm, the Purdue head coach, he tweeted out a detailed plan of how college football in the spring could look. And as an aside, I think it's telling about college football that we've just got a random head coach of one of the D1 schools, Jeff Brohm, coming up with plans on his own. And it's not a bad plan. I'm not criticizing the plan. I'm saying this is the type of thing that people in charge of the whole sport should be doing if only there were people in charge of the whole sport. But Jeff Brohm did it fine. He tweeted it out, and it's very detailed down to every week. He said, okay, here's a two-week training camp here in January, then we'll start playing in late February. We'll go February, March, April. We'll have the playoffs and the championship in May. You know, the regular season will be done before the NFL draft, all that stuff. And so, okay, great. Sounds like a winner to me. I mean, I think it's something he could definitely pull off, or that all the conferences, if they got together and pulled on the same rope for once, could pull off. But the idea that you can't play that many games in such a quote-unquote short amount of time, and it's not a short amount of time at all, it's just a little bit shorter than usual, isn't a good enough reason not to do it. The whole point of this, we're looking for ways we can make things happen. The whole point of this is that not is this as good as the normal way of doing things, because of course it's not, we know that. But is this better than nothing? Same thing with people leaving for the draft. Every time someone suggests a spring season, I keep hearing people go, oh, the guys are going to sit out, Bobby, if they're going to be in the draft. They're sitting the season out. Okay, I mean, fine. Is that a reason? You're right. We just shouldn't do it at all. Would you rather have college football with a handful of guys sitting out because they're going to be drafted soon? Or just no college football at all? It makes no sense. I'll never understand people and their mentality, the people that think that way, that, hey, here's one reason why this isn't as good as it would be another way, so let's just not do it at all. Yes, some people will sit out. If you're playing that close to the draft and you know you're going to get drafted, okay, fine, a couple guys. I mean, think about how many guys that really is on a college football team. You know, maybe two or three, maybe four on some of the upper level teams that are looking at high round draft picks, that are looking at a situation where maybe it's better not to play and jeopardize a pick. But most guys either aren't getting drafted, or they're underclassmen anyway, or they actually stand to gain more by playing and performing well than not playing. I mean, there's a few guys like that. But it's such a ridiculous reason to say, oh, no, can't do spring football. Guys are going to be sitting out because they're going to be drafted. Let Trevor Lawrence do it. Justin Fields, again, I'd miss him. Sure, it wouldn't be the same. But we're talking about this versus nothing. You understand that, right? We're not talking about doing spring football versus doing a regular fall football season like we all love. That ship sailed. Or at least it's sailing in front of our very eyes, one conference by one. We're talking about figuring out a way to make something happen that wasn't going to happen before. And you compromise things in order to make that happen. That's how things work in life. So, you know, Jeff Brohm's plan, for example, people say, oh my God, the player safety, how can they play this close together? First of all, you shorten the spring one. The spring season would be 8 games, 9 games, whatever, not 12. And even the championship teams would only end up playing at most 12 or 11, something like that. And second of all, if you're done in April and the new season starts in September, that is 5 months. 5 months, okay? Football's a rough game. I've played it at lower levels. I've never played it at a high level, college or the NFL. And I'm not going to compare that to the levels I have played it at. But still, as rough of a game as it is, 5 months? You'll be okay. They'll be able to recover. They'll be fine, okay? People act like, oh my God, they're going to play in the spring and then again in the fall. They get 5 months between their last game of the spring and the first game of the fall. And Jeff Brohm, this is where his plan is very strong. It reduces the amount of padded practices drastically, both in the spring and the fall, but especially the spring season, to the point where the actual number of padded practices is less combined for the spring and fall than it would have been even just for the fall under the normal way of doing things. And that's something that ought to be looked at in general. I know Dartmouth has already done that. Buddy Tevens, he's one of the guys, he said, I used to scoff at it. He's like, now that we do it this way, we're never going back. This is before COVID. They don't hit in practice. They might go uppers, shoulder pads, and helmets just to get it. You know, if you're a quarterback or a receiver or whatever, throwing and catching without helmet and shoulder pads is much different than throwing and catching with shoulder. So you need to wear them for that, but they don't hit. And he said it's been absolutely fine. They've done it a couple seasons now. So if you reduce the amount of overall hitting in the practices and you reduce slightly the number of games in the spring, there is not a damn reason on the face of the earth you can't do spring football. All these people saying you can't do spring football don't know what the hell they're talking about. If you don't want to, that's fine. You can say that, but don't act like it can't be done. It absolutely can. And again, the ACC announcement is coming up at 4:30 today. That's a couple of hours for me right now, but by the time you listen to this, by the time it's been posted on JoeBucksFan.com, something may have been announced. I'm not sure. So if it has, just remember what I'm saying about spring football. And the biggest obstacle to spring football to me, really and truly, it's not anything to do with player safety or scheduling or anything like that. The biggest obstacle to spring football is, will anything be different in the spring? You know, we keep kicking the can down the road hoping that things will be better, and then we get there and it's no different. I mean, how many of us thought we'd be here in August when it was back in March and this whole thing started out, and I thought, oh man, this is going to be a rough couple months, and now here we are, it's 5 months later, and it actually is much worse now than it was then. All the stuff we were worried about in March, the percentages were way lower. So will it be any different in January or February? I mean, I hope so, but that, to me, is the biggest obstacle to having spring. But if that happens, then you can bag it then and say, okay, we'll try for fall. And maybe by then, we'll have pulled our heads out of our asses and figured out a way to contain something that most of the rest of the world has already contained. Until then, email me if you want to. I love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. That's BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at Bobby Game Day. My heart was tugged at just listening to some of these stories about teams getting told that the season isn't happening. And The Athletic wrote a piece, there was one about Kent State, who's in the MAC, and the MAC has already said they're not doing fall sports. Maybe they'll be spring. I guess a lot of that depends. And you know, the MAC and the other conferences that are not Power Five, the Group of Five as they're called. Playing football for them is not worth it if they can only play in conference. They need to play that road game at Ohio State or that road game at Arkansas even, right? You know, any of the random Power 5 school that hosts a team from a Group of 5 school is paying them $900K, $1.1 million, $1.5 million in some cases. And those one or two times a year that a Group of 5 school does that pays for everything else. So once these big conferences like the Big Ten and SEC say we're not playing out of conference at all, even if we do play, then the MAC at that point, it doesn't work for them to just have conference games. They need those other games. I understand that. So they wrote a story about the Kent State players, and they were on the practice field. And, of course, there's been rumors floating around, so it wasn't like nobody had any idea or they were blindsided. But they were on the practice field when the news came down there will not be a fall season for the MAC. And the head coach comes out there, and he gathers the team around. And, you know, you got to think about, like, if you're a senior or something like that, and I'm not talking about these guys that are draftable. I'm talking about your run-of-the-mill college football senior at a place like Kent State who puts his pads on a random Wednesday morning to go out for practice and doesn't realize at the time he may never put them on again. Like, he may never pull the pads over his shoulders again after that day. And then the coach gathers everybody around and says, hey, there's not a season now. So maybe there'll be one in the spring, but I don't know. Probably not. In the meantime, you guys are just college students. Now you're not football players anymore, especially you seniors. Oh, okay. I mean, that's emotional. That's really, like, I'm trying to imagine how that would feel. And it was really emotional when I was reading the article, and it talked about the Kent State players, and they gathered around the coach, and they said, Coach, because they were getting ready to do special teams. And they said, Coach, can we run through special teams real quick? Like, let's just do it anyway. And he was like, you guys want to do special teams? I mean, there's no season. They're like, yeah, coach, let's just go ahead and run through it. And if you've ever played football before on any level, even if it's just high school, you know, like, the rhythms of a football practice. You know how mundane all that stuff can be. And you go through your periods, and then you go through individual for a little bit. Then you go through 7-on-7. Then there's team. And then you do special teams. So, and it's just the hum and the flow of football practice. I mean, it's as old as football. And anybody who's played or coached knows about it. But then they tell you you're not going to be a football player anymore and you just want to do special teams. And usually you're like, oh, God, let's do special teams and get the hell out of here. I want to get inside and get my pads off. But now you're like, coach, can we just do special teams real quick? Like, you'd kill to be able to do it again, and this is your last chance. I mean, it sucks. It really, the whole thing really sucks. And it's another reason why all these teams and all these conferences that are canceling football, I mean, they're not doing it lightly, but I really believe they believe that bottom line, they don't have a choice. So far, at least, the SEC thinks it has a choice. I don't know what the ACC is going to say at 4:30. You probably know by now. Either way, I think they should at least try the spring if they can't pull it off in the fall. And as for the NFL, again, it's different. Pros, they're getting paid. They have the opt-out possibilities. And all the bucks are there. We'll see. We got another few weeks till anything's supposed to happen. But right now, it's August 13th, okay? I'm sitting here recording this show on a Thursday afternoon. That is exactly 4 weeks from September the 10th, where the Texans are supposed to take on the Chiefs in primetime at 8:20 on NBC, where the Super Bowl champion traditionally hosts somebody for their the season opener for the whole thing on Thursday night in primetime. That's 4 weeks from tonight, okay? Will that happen? I think it will. What will it be like? I have no idea. You know, now that we've gotten a chance to see what basketball without fans is like and what baseball and hockey without fans are like, it hasn't been as bad as I thought. Golf without fans has been fine. I mean, not that I don't appreciate the gallery, especially when a guy drains a long birdie putt or when a guy's making a charge on the back nine, coming up the leaderboard and the gallery's getting behind him. But golf hasn't suffered too much watching it. And hockey, I don't think, has suffered too much. I mean, I'd love to be able to drive down to Amalie Arena and go to a game, right? I wish game two was tonight at Amalie Arena. I'd probably be there right now recording my Lightning show. But it hasn't suffered terribly. It's still, like, I'm watching it still feels legit. Football is played in front of bigger crowds than any of those other things. And Yeah, I mean, until we see a football game without fans, I don't know what it's going to be like. And you can save your jokes about, you know, Tuesday night Sun Belt games, or you can save your jokes about even Bucks games for that matter, because those still have some. And some NFL teams are saying they're going to have some fans. And some have already, I think four NFL teams have officially said, stadium's closed for the games, that's it, we're just having our games, no fans. Others, and the Bucks are in this group, have talked about ways to have, whether it's 15, 20, 25,000, whatever percent capacity they can pull off and still keep people socially distanced. I'm skeptical that that will happen, but if it does, I mean, yeah, I guess it won't be that different from a Bucks game that has 40,000 fans, and we've had a few of those anyway. And it's certainly better than nothing. I heard somebody say, oh, a stadium with 25,000 fans is worse than an empty stadium. No, it's not. Having anybody there with some kind of organic, and don't give me this fake crowd noise BS, having anybody there with some sort of reaction where you hear people roar, even if it's not that loud, is better than the completely empty stadium. Because that's the thing about watching sports on TV. A lot of times, I'm only half watching it. Maybe I'm around the house doing something, or maybe I've got my nose down in my phone. I'm scrolling Twitter or whatever, and I'm kind of playing off the sound of the TV and the crowd. You know, the crowd will let you know if something's happening or even if something's about to happen. So, yeah, even a crowd of 20,000 is good for that. In a vast stadium that holds 70,000 people, it's still okay. I mean, it's better than nothing. Yeah, that's why NFL teams are trying to figure out a way to do it. We talked on the last show about all the accommodations they've made to Raymond James, putting $10 million into it, trying to make it COVID-friendly so that they can do things with the bathrooms and the parking lots that make it so that they can still have people. Whether that ends up happening or not remains to be seen. But we got 4 weeks from Sunday for the Bucs Saints, 4 weeks from tonight for the Texans and Chiefs. As for the Buccaneers, we'll talk more about that next week on the show. They are in training camp. Like I said, the media members that are allowed to be there have done a good job of providing some footage on Twitter and things like that. It's not open to fans. We'll see if it ends up being open to fans at any point. Now, there was an article, I think The Athletic wrote that one too, about the secondary ticket market and StubHub and all these other things. And it's obviously suffering quite a bit because of what's going on. But the Bucs have kind of been immune to that. Like people, in fact, the scarcity of availability has got people clamoring for Bucs tickets because of Brady and Gronkowski. I mean, people are dying to see the Bucs if they end up putting tickets on sale. And I know that season pass holders already have theirs. We'll see if they maybe are the only ones that are allowed to go in, if they release anything else. I have no idea yet, but we'll talk more about that as we get closer to the actual season starting with games, and that's a month away because there's no preseason game versus the Steelers Friday night like there would have been. And in the meantime, Buccaneer Live at the website, Buccaneers.com, is what you'll have to rely on. You can watch the training camp footage they provide for you there. We will get more into the actual Buccaneers this week as training camp really gets going. It is officially training camp. I have not watched this week's Hard Knocks, but they're still doing that. I'm going to watch that coming up in a little while, probably with my 8-year-old son, who loves the show. And we watch uncensored versions, of course, and in this household. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. That's BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And you can get me on Twitter. Same thing. BobbyGameDay or @BobbyGameDay on Twitter. That's it for the free stretch this week. We'll get back into a routine now. And things are changing by the day, hopefully for the better, but we'll keep you posted on that. Thank you to the Joes, by the way, for hosting me on this website, the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere on the internet. And happy birthday to Joe Bucks fan. Had their birthday earlier this week. And in the meantime, thanks to Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. Thanks to all of you. I am Bobby Fenton. That is your what would have been week one preseason edition of the Free Stretch. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, no matter where you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.